This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar, Parashat Bo, 5777, on belonging and otherness in Parashat Bo. The 12th chapter of Shemot gives us a wide-angle view of the present, past, and future. At the climax of the story, we find the description of the final plague, the death of the firstborn. This is when Paro finally relents and the Exodus begins. The first section of the chapter contains God's instructions to Moshe and Aharon for the preparations that the people of Israel should make for their departure. The first Pesach. The second section of the chapter is focused on the way this Pesach will be commemorated in the future. The third section portrays Moshe commanding the elders about all of these preparations, followed by a description of the actual events. I'd like to focus on a select number of verses which describe the Exodus and a midrashic question which this passage raises. And Paro awoke that night, him and all his slaves and all of Egypt. And there was a great cry in Egypt, because there was no house where there was not someone dead. And he called unto Moshe and Aharon in the middle of the night, and he said to them, "Leave, get out, get up from within my people, both you and Bnei Israel, and go worship the God as you have spoken." In the Tanaitic Midrash, Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the author asks about inclusion of various groups of people in the events of the fateful night of the first Pesach. You. This only includes you, the children of Israel who are being addressed by the verse. From where do we know that it also includes converts, strangers, and slaves? Since the verse says, "Also you." This short midrash presents a very careful, gentle, and sensitive reading of the verses. First, it focuses on the word "you," as spoken by Paro. It seems that "you" refers to the people who Paro summoned at the beginning of the verse, Moshe and Aaron. In the straightforward reading of the verse, it seems that Paro uses this word in order to distinguish between Moshe and Aaron and the rest of the people. As if Paro is emphasizing, "I don't want you alone to leave Egypt, but also the rest of the children of Israel." However, the Midrash chooses to read this word as excluding a specific social group. You and not slaves, and not converts and strangers. The Midrash then asks, since we know that "you" has a limited and specific referent, Israel, how do we know that not only the biological children of Israel, but all of the people, including converts and slaves and strangers, went out? The question of "from where do we know" reveals two assumptions. First, the fact that it is obvious to the Midrash that the slaves and convert strangers did in fact leave Egypt with the rest of Israel. Secondly, it emphasizes the fact that if you were to read the verses without a midrashic eye, you wouldn't be able to see that fact in the text. There is a significant gap between the general inclusive assumption in the midrash and what the verses state explicitly. The question of the midrash is then, given that it was not only you who left Egypt, but also the slaves and convert strangers, where can one ground that assumption in the text? Let's step into the Egypt that the Midrash imagines. In this Egypt, not only are the children of Israel slaves to Paro, but they own slaves of their own. In this Egypt, not only are the children of Israel strangers in the land that doesn't belong to them, but there are converts, people who have chosen to join their group, to be foreigners among them. The term for these converts, gerim, can be understood in two ways. either as actual religious converts or merely as strangers, foreigners who have chosen to join the people. Either way, we understand this term, the fact that the Midrash believes that they exist, forces us to see the people of Israel in Egypt in a way that we wouldn't readily see them from the verses. Thus, according to the imagination in the Midrash, Israel is a people composed of many different groups with different types of relationships. And it is clear that according to the Midrash, these other groups of people joined Israel not only when they left, but even while they were still slaves. The term gam, also, in the verse, is a term that the Midrash uses to anchor this suggestion, that you, who are leaving Egypt, also includes converts and slaves. Instead of saying you, the verse says also you, which clarifies that Israel left Egypt with someone else, someone also, the slaves and converts who had joined them. Time after time, the sages brazenly suggest we imagine the unthinkable. And here, they are brazen enough to describe Israel in Egypt as a nation that is powerful enough to have its own slaves, converts, and others who choose to tie their destiny and join them as strangers. The question that the Midrash raises brings us to the point where we no longer think of the children of Israel as slaves who were oppressed and disdained, but rather as a group that people would want to join and cling to. The Israelites even have their own internal hierarchy, people who have status and those who serve them as slaves. However, the most unthinkable assumptions and questions that the Midrash raises can be read as trying to accomplish something beyond reading the text. They often reflect a worldview, a viewpoint, a concern, a belief, or a hope. It is our responsibility as readers and learners to not only understand the content of what the Midrash says, but what it speaks to more broadly, what it implies. The teaching that we have has one direct statement, but actually reveals an almost opposite worldview. On the one hand, it includes the convert strangers and slaves as being part of the people, leaving Egypt together. But on the other hand, it leaves them as adjuncts and somewhat separate. This teaching exhibits the Midrashic hermeneutic of inclusion, but a careful reading yields that this is a teaching with a profound lesson actually about exclusion. Even though the teaching explains that the Israelites left Egypt with the converts or strangers and slaves, the way in which these different groups are included is not as being part of an undifferentiated whole, but rather they maintain their status as add-ons, as extras, as others. The convert strangers and slaves are spoken about and thought about as additional, as also, and they are not part of the original core, you. They are adjuncts. They aren't really part of the core of the children of Israel. If we want to live in a society that is aware of the injustices of exclusion, where there is a call to expand the boundaries and to live with plurality and multivocality, to live lives of inclusion and equality, then this Midrash teaches us something fundamental. It's not enough to expand or to include. We have an obligation to look at the way we go about including. How do we invite other people to join us? How we behave towards them when we do. Sometimes we'll find that the way we attempt to bring people in will actually be exclusionary, leaving those who have been invited in as additions rather than as core members. The Midrash invites us to examine our own behavior and attitudes. If inclusion is our goal, are we doing it in a way that truly achieves it? Shabbat Shalom.